comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Well, let's see if it works now. Yeah, it's working now. Hi, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. We're here because you matter and because you have a right to know. Tonight is going to be Open Line Live. You know, I always bring something to the table, though. I always bring something... some article, some story, some report to the table, and I talk about that, and then we open up the telephone lines and allow you to call in and comment on it, and we're going to do that tonight. And you've heard me say so many times how this show is really a cooperative effort. This show is a cooperative effort between me and you. And our community of listeners really participates in the show. I get suggestions in the emails all the time where people are suggesting that I take a look at a certain page or watch a certain video, and they put links in there. And people also suggest topics for us to talk about and guests for us to invite. So I got a suggestion that I go take a look at a particular web page. And I clicked the link and I took a look at the page, and it was very, very interesting. And in fact, we've already used it on another show. But on that page, there were some other links to other stories. And they looked pretty interesting, so I checked those out. And one of those links was really interesting, but it was the kind of thing where I thought, I'm not so sure about this. I need to check a little further. But now, remember, I went to a web page. There are some links to other stories. One of those links I'm now looking at, and I find it interesting. And it has a link to some original photographs, source photographs, or a source photograph. So I clicked it. Well, when I clicked it, I then downloaded that photograph and used it in my program that I use to zoom in on things, on photographs and so forth. And I'll tell you what, I didn't come to the same conclusion that the article had. I came to a very different conclusion. But I'll tell you, I saw things in this photograph that will blow your socks off. And I'm going to share that with you tonight. And even for those of you who are not watching our TV channel, you're not yet a member of the Kevin Smith Show, you will be able to see the original photograph. All right? You'll be able to see it. And I'll explain all of that in just a minute. Let me remind you, if you haven't yet subscribed to the K-Files, you need to subscribe to the K-Files. It's free. It's our newsletter. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, and as I said, this is going to be open line. In just a few minutes, I do have some information I want to share with you first. Now, remember, this comes not directly from one of our listeners, but this line of investigation here was spawned by a suggestion from one of our listeners. We already used the suggestion in a show, and now this is the follow-on information that I ran into when I was checking out that link they sent to me. You know that Mars is a topic that I have a lot of interest in, and I've written a couple of books about it, but one of the reasons I have an interest in Mars is not just because I have an interest in Mars, it's because even though we humans have flown more missions to Venus than have been flown to Mars, there are a great many more photographs of Mars than there are of Venus. Now, I've done some shows on Venus, too. We do have a few photographs from Venus, and they are quite interesting, very anomalous. And so I've done some shows on Venus. But with Mars, there's absolutely a proliferation of photographs and data that comes back from Mars. And part of that has to do with the fact that on Venus, apparently the conditions on Venus, or at least what we're told, the conditions on Venus are really so extremely hostile that satellites that get sent to land on Venus, and there have been a couple, maybe three, that have landed on Venus, don't last very long. They don't last very long because of the extreme heat, because of the acid bath that they take as they drop through the atmosphere toward the surface of Venus, and the extreme atmospheric pressures. So all of that combines to kill off those satellites pretty quickly. We do have, as I said, a few photographs from Venus and some information, and it's very interesting. But on Mars, conditions are not that hostile. Satellites don't have to, when it's landing on the surface of Mars, doesn't have to drop through an acid bath to get there. The atmospheric pressure is not extreme. The temperatures are not so extreme. They're extreme for you and for me, but for spacecraft, they're not that extreme. And so we've got all of this stuff coming back, all these pictures and data coming back from Mars. There's so much of it, there's no way anybody can analyze all of it. I guess NASA could. But you and I, there's no way we could go through every photograph that exists. There's no way that we could, really zoom in and look at the minute detail of each and every one of those photographs. It's impossible. It couldn't be done. But some of the photographs do get looked at by people out here in the public, people who do have some skills with manipulating photographs. And by manipulating, I don't mean making things up. What I mean is some skills at being able to zoom in and look, and sometimes slightly, ever so slightly, change the contrast so that things show up better. Well, one of the photographs that people have looked at is a photograph you can look at right now, okay? Now, here's how. If you're watching the show on our TV channel, you're going to see this on your screen. If you are not watching the show, if you're listening to the show, you can go to my main page on my website. Just go to kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down, and when you see the picture about tonight's show, the graphic for tonight's show, if you just click anywhere on that graphic, it's going to pop open a page at JPL. Now, the reason that it pops open that page is because the picture that's right there on that page is the one we're going to deal with here tonight. Now, I was talking today with the owner of one of the networks that carries this show. And he took a look at this photograph. He also went to the raw image data and looked at some of the raw images that make up this photograph. This picture that you're seeing on the JPL page is not a single photograph, folks. This is made up of a bunch of different photographs shot by the Spirit rover. And so they pieced it together to kind of make a panoramic view, not truly panoramic, but a wider view. And what you're looking at here is the composite of various of the raw images that are sort of stitched together, fitted together like a jigsaw puzzle, to create what we're looking at here. Now, when you look at this photograph, and I invite you to do that, okay? Whether you're watching us on our TV channel or not, you can see this photograph. Like I said, it's linked. You just click the graphic about tonight's show, and it'll pop open that page at JPL, and there it is. That's the photograph. When you look at that on their page, it just looks like a bunch of rocks scattered out in front of the rover, right? And it is. There are a bunch of rocks out there. But if you look closely at that photograph, you will see some bright white dots out there on the surface. And those got my interest, and that's what we're going to look at. I want you to understand, I am not claiming that I have discovered this. Other people have. This has shown up on other people's websites. My interpretation of what we're looking at, however, is different than the conclusions that a lot of people have reached. Now, we're going to take a look. If you're looking at the JPL page, you're looking at that photograph. There, if you look right at the bottom of the photograph, right at the bottom. Now start on the left side of the photograph and start moving toward the right, and you come to when you're almost to the middle, almost to the center of the photograph going left to right, you come to a dark, not exactly triangular, but sort of triangular object sticking up. And if you look just above it and slightly to the left, there's a white dot. Now, that's where we're going to start. If you're sitting at your computer and you are able to load this photograph, for instance, into Photoshop or something similar, I invite you to do it and zoom in, and you can see what we're talking about here tonight. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at the little white dot that's just above that little triangular dark object sticking up right at the bottom of the photograph and almost to the center of the photograph. When you zoom in on this thing, it is surprising what you see. I don't even need to comment much for those who are watching on our TV channel. For those of you who are listening, if you will zoom in on that object, you will see what I'm about to talk about. All of the websites that I saw that had commented on this said that this is obviously a human skull. I don't think it is. I mean, it quite obviously has features that look similar to a human skull, It is white, while the rest of the background back there, we can tell, is, you know, well, in our picture, it's shades of gray and black. Of course, on the surface, that would be shades of reddish-brown, surface of Mars, anyway. It would be sort of reddish-brown. But this thing is sticking up out of the sand. It looks like it's the lower part of it, you know, from the bottom of the nose down, is kind of buried in the dirt, so we can't see that. But it does have sort of the appearance of a skull. But it's only sort of the appearance. Now, look at it closely. Look at it very closely. And you will see that it actually has some features that a human skull does not have. Over the right ear, so as you're facing the picture, it's on the left side of the picture. Over the right ear area, there is a bulge. There is very definitely a part of this that bulges out. Furthermore, and we can't see on the other side of it because of the way it's turned, we can't see if there is a corresponding bulge on the other side. But also, there is right up on top, there is a little protuberance. Right up on the top, there is something up there bulging out. And this would be sort of on the forehead area, extending back onto the head. And it is located in line with the bridge of the nose. So if you started at the top of the nose, and you start at the top of the nose and draw a line back up on the crown of the forehead, that's where this protuberance is. This, I don't know what it is, a little bulb sticking up there. As a matter of fact, it looks like it's about the size, it would be about the size of an incandescent light bulb. And it's kind of shaped like that, and it's sticking right up there on the top of this thing. Is it a skull? Well, I'm not so sure that it is. I'll tell you what I think it reminds me of. It reminds me of either the head of C-3PO from Star Wars, or the helmet of the stormtroopers in Star Wars, but it's not exactly like either one. Now, as I looked at this and thought about what could it be, what comes to mind is the helmet of an environmental suit. In other words, a space suit. When our astronauts go into space, you've seen them when they go out and do a spacewalk, they wear an environmental suit. We call it a space suit, but what it does is within that suit there is artificially created for them an environment conducive to human life. So as long as they're in that suit, and as long as there are no cuts or breaches in the suit, they live, and they can work and function and so forth, and it's got a helmet on it. Now, our space suits and space helmets don't have eye sockets. They don't have two places to look out like this helmet or head does. But, you know, ours just sort of have a bubble of some type of transparent material across the front, and the astronaut on the inside looks out through that, and it's just a bubble across the front. Well, it could be, however, designed, and so we could design our spacesuits in such a way that they have two eye sockets to look out. You could do that. That's what this reminds me of. This reminds me, this shows me, or when I say it shows me, it when I look at it, to me it looks like the helmet of one of those environmental suits, some type of a space suit, some type of, I don't know, if not a space suit, certainly an environmental suit that you would wear. You know, we don't wear environmental suits just in space. We also wear environmental suits for deep sea diving, right? And when I was talking with this owner of one of the networks that carries our show, and he was looking at these pictures, he got pretty excited about it. He could see all of the things we're going to look at and more. We found a lot more stuff. There's no way I can talk about all of it here tonight. There's no way that I could show you pictures of all of it here tonight. But I invite you, I've provided you with a link to the original picture, and I invite you to do your own investigation and research of it. But he said that to him, this looks like the helmet on a diving suit. And in a way it does, except the helmet on a diving suit has a round window in the front for the diver to look out of. The one we're looking at has two smaller round windows, if you will, over the eye socket areas for the person who occupied it to look out of. Now, one of the things, of course, that debunkers will want to do with this is they will want to say, oh, well, that's just some kind of anomaly in the photograph and, you know, in the photographic process. And, you know, actually, there's nothing to that. That's just some kind of weird anomaly in the photographic process. Well, remember that the picture we're looking at, the original picture, is not a single snapshot. Remember that it is made up, it is a composite made up of a number of pictures shot by the Spirit rover while it was standing, you know, all in the same place. In other words, where it was located, it stood right there and shot a bunch of different pictures. Shoot a picture, move, turn the camera a little to the right or left, shoot a picture, turn a little, shoot a picture, turn a little. And they stitched all these together. So if this, at the moment, I'm going to call it a helmet. If it's an anomaly, we should not see it in all those other pictures, right? We'll be back.
To the Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back. And we're talking about this photograph that's on the JPL Mars Rover's website. I would also recommend you do this. I'm not going to predict that this picture will disappear and be swapped out for another picture, but it has happened in the past when we've talked about something on either a NASA website or another website I'm not going to mention right now, but one that you've heard me mention before. It has happened that they've changed their website right after that. I don't know that it's in response, but it was curious. And so I recommend, if you want to hang on to this picture, go ahead and copy it to your computer, download it to your computer now, okay? Now, I said that to me, you know, this sort of, when I first saw it, it reminded me of either a Stormtrooper helmet out of Star Wars, or C-3PO. So let's talk about C-3PO for a minute. C-3PO, of course, is a robot, purely fictional in Star Wars, but, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to understand, we have come to know that a lot of the stuff that we think is purely fictional sort of shows up later in technology, and you know, some of the sci-fi stuff becomes reality. It is possible, of course, if there was some intelligent race that was either living on Mars or visiting Mars at some time in what would be our ancient past, if they had the technology to go there and do that, which we apparently, at least what we get told, is we don't have the technology to go do that yet. I'm not so sure that's the case. But if they could do it, they certainly had the technology to build robots that could perform certain tasks for them. Are you aware of the fact there is a robot on board? I think it's already up there now, the International Space Station. And that robot is scheduled to be the last occupant of the space station when they finally decide to deorbit the space station. That robot will stay on board and will ride it down to the Pacific Ocean. So is this possibly the remains of a robot that some past intelligent race sent to Mars? Is it a robot, or like that stormtrooper helmet? You know, that helmet on a stormtrooper is a helmet for an environmental suit. It contains communications and possibly oxygen, I don't know. We know environmental suits that we use seal the atmosphere inside the suit. The suit is pressurized, and then there's oxygen in the suit so that the deep sea diver or the high space flyer can breathe and can work and live in an environment in which otherwise he would not be able to live and work. So I don't know. I don't know if it's a robot. I don't know if it's the helmet off of an environmental suit, but it looks to me more like the helmet off of an environmental suit. Now, I told you this was not the only thing in the photograph. If you will look at the photograph that appears on the JPL website, and on screen you're seeing part of that photograph. The photograph on the JPL website is too tall for me to get all of it in one shot on our screen, and so we've taken it in sections. But if you look at where that helmet is located at the bottom of the picture, and on screen you're seeing it with a yellow arrow, there is, if you let your eye travel up and diagonally to the left to about the 11 o'clock position, there is another white dot. What could that white dot be? Well, when we zoom in on it, it's hard to tell what that white dot is. But it appears to be some type of machined, manufactured item. It is sort of cone-shaped with the cone pointing to the left, and there's a round hole in the left side of it. It could be part of an environmental suit. It could be part of an engine, and in fact, it's attached to something that's not white, or it appears to be, that extends to the right of it. Is that part of an engine of some kind? Hard to tell. Very hard to tell. Now, I told you that whenever I talked with the owner of this network today and we were looking at these photographs, we found a lot of stuff. I'll tell you, if you take a look at this, this looks like a crash site. In fact, his comment was, this looks like an alien junkyard. It looks like a crash site. You can see gouges in the ground. Now, if we go back and take a look at the not zoomed in photo, and those of you looking at the photograph on the JPL website, you will see there is this debris field with, it looks like, all kinds of rocks and rough area. But you also see up towards, as you move up towards the top of the picture, you see a very definite edge or horizon for that debris field where it ends and the ground becomes smooth. You see that? Well, this looks, if you look at it carefully and zoom in just a little bit, this looks like a big, gigantic gouge mark caused by something big crashing here, moving from left to right. That's what it looks like. As a matter of fact, if you notice, the skull or the helmet, notice where it is. And then you notice the other little white dot up and to the left at about 11 o'clock. Now, let your eye follow up and to the left from it to about 11 o'clock in that JPL photograph. And there's another white dot. They're all three in line. And when you get up to that other little white dot and you zoom in on it, it's triangular shaped. And I have no idea what it is. It's white. It's obviously metallic. It's reflecting light. And you'll notice when we look at the helmet, you'll notice that it's reflecting light. It's obviously metallic as well. And it's reflecting light. Not like the rocks around it. Not like the dirt around it. It's different. All three of these objects are like that. They all three are metallic and or appear to be, and they're reflecting light. Now, I don't have, for those on television, I don't have a shot of the triangular object. It's a small triangular shape, and it's just white piece of triangle. I don't know, couldn't tell what it is. But it's interesting, they're all three in a line as if expelled at the same moment from whatever crashed, and at the same moment, if there was an explosion, some were blown to the right, some to the left, some dropped to the ground, but all boom, right there in a line. But there's a lot of other stuff. As I said, we looked at this debris field quite extensively. We actually found, and I will leave this to those of you who wish to do some research on your own, you'll be able to find it yourself. We actually found what appears to be a perhaps a roadway and a bridge across a gully. Now, that would be in the upper right corner, or not corner, but the upper right side of the JPL photograph. But there's a huge cylinder. There's a cylinder out there that must be at least the part that's exposed and that they've got a photograph, got it in the photograph. That part of it has to be 25 to 30 feet long or longer. It's big. And it's right up in the, if north in the picture is straight up, this is in the north, northeast, right at the edge of the debris field. There's a cylinder, again, metallic and reflecting light. Well, let me show you some stuff that's not metallic. Let's talk about this. In this debris field, interestingly, looks like rocks or boulders, rather evenly spaced, running right through the middle of this debris field. So if we go to this thing that I said, I don't know what it is. It's obviously machined. It's sort of cone-shaped. If you're looking at the skull and you look up and to the left, there's the skull, this thing, and then the triangle. Okay, well, this is from the skull. This is the second object. So if you look at it and then look to the right of it and up to the right just a little bit, you will see that there is a line of rocks or boulders or something. They all appear to be rather evenly spaced, moving up and to the right diagonally through the picture. So I zoomed in on some of these and found something rather amazing. Again, I found a very machined-looking piece of equipment. I'm not sure what it is. It has a round hole in the left side of it, in the side facing us. It seems to sort of taper off. This looks like it could be the end of an exhaust system of some kind. Now, up and to the right of it, there is something that appears to be, it has the appearance of a truck tire. Now, I'm fairly certain it's not a truck tire, but it's shaped like that. It's wide, and it's shaped, it's round like a tire, like the tire on an automobile, but it's wide like a truck tire. In this same photograph, and I don't have it marked on screen, but in this same photograph, on the right side of the photograph, if we let these two things I do have marked be the corners of a triangle and draw lines from them to the right side of the photograph so that those lines intersect where they intersect and form the triangle, there is a rectangular piece of something with a round hole in the top of it. So, this, like I said, you know, our friend said this looks like an alien junkyard. And it does. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I am now going to open up the telephone lines and invite you to participate with us in this show. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, we would love to have your call. On the other hand, I do understand that an international telephone call can be expensive. So for you, we have the flash message option if you want it. You can call us or you can go to my website, scroll down, you see the graphic about tonight's show, and right above it, you'll see the link that says flash message. All right, let's go to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Alan in Missouri.
Hello, Alan.
How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Go to your picture, and that first skull thing you were talking about down at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
Then go straight up, almost halfway, but not quite, and I see a big face there. Did you guys see that?
No, I'm looking now. Of course, here's the thing. What I'm looking at is what we are showing on our TV channel. and I can't get the whole picture on one screen. So I just had to pick and choose places to get in there. So I'll take a look at that after the show and see if I see a face. I'll tell you something. Let me give you something to look for.
It's probably going to be about 10 times larger than that skull looking thing.
Okay.
It's a brown face with a light colored forehead and top.
Okay.
And I see the two eyes and the nose and the lips, and there's a little bit of rock partially obscuring part of it.
Okay. Let me check. Let me take a look at some of the other shots that I have available to me. I obviously don't have that part of the picture in there.
Okay. You know where your little friendship seven cone looking thing is?
The friendship seven cone. Okay.
Okay, go up to the right, not very far. And it'll be about 10 or 12 times bigger than that.
Okay. Well, I'll take a look at that after the show. I don't see it right now, but let me tell you something to look for. And believe me, it's there. Are you looking at our TV channel at the moment?
Actually, no. I'm looking down. I'm looking at the raw photo.
Okay. For those who are watching on our television channel at the moment, the picture that's up there, what I'm about to describe, is in this picture. Yoda. You know, in Star Wars, the little guy Yoda, and they sometimes would show him wearing a robe and it had a hood on it. There is a statue in this picture of Yoda with a hood on. A little, I say a statue of Yoda, that's what I'm calling it. A little guy with a hood. And there is a statue in this picture. So, that'll give you something to look for.
Okay, listen, I'm on your TV screen now, and that thing even shows up at the resolution that you got. There's a rock in the middle between it and the white dot, the cone-looking thing, and it's you can just barely see the two eyes sticking up there, but when you zoom in, it's as clear as day.
Okay, well, I'll zoom in after after the show. Thanks for pointing it out.
Okay, see you later.
Thanks. 623-444-5889. The telephone lines are open. Some of you now are looking for Yoda. Well, the little statue of the little guy with the hooded robe is there. And at least that's what it looks like to me. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hello, Mike.
You know, that little white thing, little white-looking thing, almost looks like a frog head from where I'm seeing it.
We looked at three white things. Which white thing are we talking about?
I'm talking about the one that sort of looks like it's facing the camera, and it looks like it's got a little white a little black eye on either side of it. And it looks kind of like a frog head.
Is it what I have on the screen right at this moment?
That one right there, or a lizard head, yeah.
I don't see that.
Well, we're looking at it from different perspectives. I'm seeing it on the TV screen, and you're seeing it differently.
No, I'm watching the master TV screen. I'm seeing what you see. But the what I see there looks like some type of fitting that would go on the end of a part of an engine or something. I'll tell you something else I found. There's about I'm estimating, based on the size of the skull, there is about a 6 foot to 8 foot length of flexitube, and it's down there to the left of the skull. It's in an S shape.
I really need to look at the original photograph, because the clarity here is a little bit to be desired, you know.
Well, all you have to do is click on the picture on my website, and it'll pop it open for you.
I will.
All right.
One other thing.
Mm-hmm.
that space shuttle, I mean space shuttle, the International Space Station,
uh-huh.
would they let that thing fall back and burn up? Why couldn't they take and put an eye on the engine or something on that and park it in orbit around the moon so when they decide to go back, they've got a place up there already built and not have to spend all those billions of dollars again? All they got to do is restock it.
I don't know. You'd have to take that up with NASA and with the science advisor in the Obama administration. I don't know. But in 2020, it's supposed to come down.
Yeah, I know it is. And that seems like an awful lot of waste of money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And let me tell you, not only have we not been back to the moon and we won't go back, once that comes down, we won't be back out there.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
That is probably true. But, you know, if a person just wanted to save money, and they keep saying that our problem is money, part of it,
yeah.
then best thing to do would just push it on over into an orbit around the moon and let it run.
Well, you would think so, yeah.
And then if we never go back out there, 200 years from now, some other civilization go up there and find it and say, whoa, there was intelligent life here.
No, they wouldn't. They would lie to their people and say that that's a compression artifact in the photograph.
Probably so.
Yeah, that's what they would do. All right, Mike, thanks for the call.
Take care, Kevin.
All right. Okay, 623-444-5889. That is the telephone number here in the studio. It is Open Line Live. What do you think about all this? You know, to me, this thing laying on Mars looks like the helmet of some type of environmental suit, but it might be the remains of the head of a robot. I don't know. I don't think it's a human skull, though. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Just below the skull, that dark landmark you used?
Yeah.
Look at that a little closer. Actually, zoom out a little bit on it from your where you have it right now.
I can't do that.
I know, but when you get a chance, it looks like a Klingon head.
A Klingon head. Well, let me go to the original unzoomed. Okay, and
just below where the arrow is.
Maybe, yeah. Could be.
With the mouth screaming open.
You want to hang on through the break?
Yeah, sure.
Right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the line with me from Wyoming is Brent. And Brent, you were pointing out this Klingon head. It's kind of all wrinkled up like the Klingons, isn't it? Oh, you know what?
Remember the bar scene in the original Star Wars? They had that one creature with the horns that went swept back from his forehead?
I don't remember it.
Well, they sweep back on both sides of his head, and it's got a very pronounced, what we would call a widow's peak, but it's not made of hair.
Uh-huh.
It looks kind of like that, and it's got the eyes, where the eyes would be is very much lighter, the nose is darker, and the mouth is wide open, and like saying, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. It could be. You know, if you take a look at the picture that I have up on our TV screen, take a look at the skull or the helmet or whatever it is, and look to the left of it. There is some type of rectangular dark object located there. Now, that may just be a rock. I don't know. But it's...
You say it's got an indentation on top of it, though.
Yeah, and it's interesting, whatever it is. What did you think about that tire? I mean, I'm not saying it's a tire. I'm saying it's shaped like that. What do you think that is?
I wouldn't say a truck tire. Do you remember the Lunar Rover?
Oh, yeah.
Took up there?
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest it look more like one of those tires.
Yeah.
It was wide and fat.
Mm-hmm. It may not be a tire at all. It may be metal of some kind.
When I first looked at that, I was thinking more in terms of a exhaust funnel. You might get on the back of a shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
Those big funnels they have.
Yeah.
I was thinking it looks something like one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it looks like it tapers away from you a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, it might be. Might be. You know, it could be. It's hard to tell because this is not a color photograph. It could be metal.
It's not a color photograph.
It could be plastic. It could be rubber. Whatever it is circular like a tire, and it's wide. And it's buried in the dirt. You know, it's sticking up out of the dirt. All right. Brent, thanks for the call.
Yep.
All right. 623-444-5889. Join us in the Alien Junkyard, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think we're looking at here? What do you think, you know, is this a helmet? Is this, if it's not a helmet, is it maybe the head of a robot? What is it that we're looking at? Is whatever it is that we're looking at certainly does not appear to be some type of natural geological formation. It's very definitely similar to a human skull. It's not exact. I mean, it has holes for the eyes. It's got a bridge, a cover for the nose. The lower part of it is buried in the sand there. I don't know. What do you think it is? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. It's an interesting picture. I don't know. When I first looked at it, it looks like a skull, but it doesn't look human.
Mm-hmm.
It looks almost, I would say like reptilian, but in the fact, there were some, I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with paleontology and everything, but
pretty much.
There were some dinosaurs that actually were kind of thin and slender and tall and had like this little bony ridge. They had a very short snout, not very, you know, pronounced like, say, a T-Rex or anything like that. Their snout was, you know, more blunt. And they had, like, this little bony ridge running from, oh, I would say maybe what would be the middle of the forehead to the back of the skull. And that kind of, it kind of looks something like that. It would be almost like it would be like maybe like a reptilian, but with that bony ridge on the back, from the front to the back. That's what it looks like to me. Again, you know, I'm just listening to you, but I did click on, you know, on the picture for today, and that did come up. I zoomed in, and that's what it looks like to me. That S-curve thing, that kind of looks like it might be maybe some kind of a spine, possibly. Not like a human spine, you know, where we have the vertebrae and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That looks a lot more slender, but there are some creatures in the animal kingdom that, being vertebrates, don't have pronounced vertebrae in their spine. It's very much fused together. So it looks like their whole spine is actually like, you know, just almost like one smooth piece of interconnecting bone, but not with, you know, lots of vertebrae sticking out. That's what it kind of looks like to me. So I think it might be possibly maybe some type of maybe extinct animal life that lived on Mars at one time. That's what it looks like to me.
Well, it might be. whatever it is, it's not does not appear to be a rock.
No, not at all.
It appears to be flexible.
Brent and as Brent and Mike were saying, as they talked about, you could see the eye sockets. I mean, I definitely saw eye sockets. Those are orbicular sockets. So it obviously it had to have some kind of a maybe a human ancestor somewhere, because the eyes face frontwards. If you look at most reptiles, even the dinosaurs, their eyes were on the sides of the head.
Yeah.
They never faced front. And I can't think of any dinosaurs from what I've studied in paleontology that have eyes to the front of their head. This creature, whatever it was, must have some type of human ancestry or DNA or something in it, if it wasn't manufactured or created in a lab, because its eyes face frontwards. There are, the only animals that have eyes like that are humans, some types of birds like owls, and the lemur group, and also the ape group. Those are the only ones that I know of that that have eyes like that. And you know, the cats and dogs.
Well, and Chewbacca.
Chewbacca
in Star Wars he was a Wookiee, so Wookiees have eyes that face forward.
Right, yeah, that's Chewbacca, right. So, I mean, that's what it looks like to me.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks for the call.
All right, Kev.
All right, bye.
Have a good night.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Pretty amazing stuff in this photograph. All of this is from one photograph. Pretty amazing stuff in it, and... you know, we had the discussion the other night about whether NASA really has a role and whether they ought to close it down or whatever. And some people think that NASA should be closed. I don't. And this is an example of why. Even though NASA's not talking about this, they did release the picture, didn't they? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Gary from Nebraska.
Hello, Gary. I heard you're famous these days.
Well, there's been that... It's been implied, shall we say. I'm not sure it's true, though.
Okay.
You know, this picture you've pulled up, quite fascinating. I don't know if our eyes are letting our imagination run wild or not, but there's a lot of stuff in there that... It just doesn't make sense, shall we say. I was looking at the skull you had up, and if you look immediately to the right, boy, from my line of work, part of it was, it looks like there's a couple of pipes there next to it that have been Siamese welded together. It's just the weirdest. Well, I don't call it weird, but it just looks like there's a couple of pipes that have been Siamese welded together, and who knows what it did, if it did. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I think that's usually, at least they used to call that a butt weld, where you butt one thing right up against another and parallel to each other and weld them together.
You could call it that way, too. Sure, it's just whatever term you're
mm-hmm.
used to.
Yeah.
It's just
but obviously, this skull or helmet, or whatever it is,
yeah.
is completely different texture, completely different color and material and reflectivity from all the stuff around it.
As soon as you said it looks like a junkyard, I mm-hmm. got to thinking, you know, there's a lot of room for possibilities here when you have that frame of mind to look at things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I just thought I'd toss that at you and bringing up the subject and the picture. It's fascinating.
It is a fascinating picture, isn't it? Thank you very much,
That's
Gary.
That's true.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And let me say again, we can thank one of our listeners for leading us to this, even though a bit unintentionally, because it was the listener who sent me the link that took me to a page where I found a link to a story that led me to this picture. Okay, that's the way it worked. And that's the way a lot of our stuff works. It truly, truly, truly is a cooperative effort for us to do the show each and every night. Okay, I don't just sit around and dream it up myself. It comes from you. And thanks to the listener. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Leslie, and I'm calling from Oregon.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi. That very first object, the one that you had mentioned looked like a skull or something, to me, it, when I very first saw it, it reminded me of I don't know if you remember the original the comic strip, Buck Rogers from the 1920s.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the helmet that they would wear in the comics. It mm-hmm. had, like, one of those little pointy things on top and, like, little earpiece. And that's just what it reminded me of.
So maybe this is the remains of Buck Rogers. What do you think?
That would be neat if it was, but I don't know. It'd be a souvenir. That's just what it reminds me of.
Yeah. Well, it could be. You know, to me, I know some people look at it and they think it looks like a skull. And a lot of people, I say a lot, there weren't many, but there were some who have written about this on the internet, and they say to them it looks like a skull. To me it looks like a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it is a skull. If it's a skull, it isn't human. And the way that we can see it's not human is because of that bulge on over the ear, and also on top of the head. And I've got it marked in this picture that's on the TV screen now. There's a bulge over the right ear, and then there's that bulge or that light bulb-shaped thing on the head. So if this is a skull, it's not a human skull, but it may be in the same family as us, but, you know, not... certainly not from Earth. And if the official stories are to be believed, no humans have ever been to Mars. So, you know, if the official stories are true, that's not a human skull.
Yeah, well, it could have been Buck Rogers' helmet. I got to tell you, it looks just like that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the call.
Thanks. Right.
Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah. I don't think it's Buck Rogers' helmet, really. But listen, lots and lots of stuff that shows up in sci-fi turns out to be true. People laugh at it. They scoff at it. They use it for ridicule and tell people, oh, you've been watching too much Star Trek. You've been watching too much Star Wars. And then, you know, a lot of that stuff turns out to be true. And when it turns out to be true, then the scoffers and ridiculers really, really are in deep manure at that point. We are told that there is no evidence of intelligent life off of this planet. We get told that. And I would say, if there's no evidence of intelligent life off of this planet, how do you explain this? That's not a rock. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Jeff from Tennessee.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I don't think it's a skull.
No? What, do you think it's a helmet?
Yeah, the thing of it is, unless the skeletal system of the body attached to that is somewhat metallic, I would have a hard time believing it was a skull.
What about it being the head of a robot?
Oh, that's possible. It actually, after I was thinking about this earlier today, I remembered some of the early designs that they made for the space program. Some of them had, like, searchlights in the top of them.
Yeah, that's right.
a little wider around the ears, almost kind of a half oval shaped thing where they'd put like headphones and speakers so that they could communicate back and forth.
Yeah, but what about the eye socket area? I mean, did we have any helmets that had that, or have we always had kind of that bubble face mask?
I wouldn't have known of any. Most of all are pulled down. I don't remember anything that was socket, eye socket thing. That would be kind of a problem, really, to see out of.
Well, it would be for us. You know, it looks like a helmet to me, but at the same time, you know, I have said it could be the head of a robot. And the eye socket thing is the reason that I say that. Of course, the Stormtrooper's helmet for Star Wars, I know that's science fiction, but they had the eye areas. C-3PO, he had things that looked like eyes. It was his sight sensors. If this was the head of a robot, then the eye sockets would make sense. On the other hand, if this is not a human and his eyes work differently than ours, and when I say if this is not a human, I don't mean this is a skull, but I mean if this is a helmet for something that's not human, if that's the case, his eyes may be displaced differently and work differently than ours. And maybe this is optimal for his race. I don't know.
Well, another quick thing to consider, too, is as shiny as these objects are and reflective of the light, the Martian winters and a lot of the storms that go up on Mars are pretty dense. So whatever material this is made out of obviously doesn't deteriorate all that well.
Yeah, it stands up against the environment. Now, you and I spent a great deal of time on the telephone today, and you were looking at this, at all these raw data, raw pictures, from which this composite was made that was put on the JPL website. And you made the comment, this looks like an alien junkyard. And it really does. I mean, there's stuff strewn all out through that debris area. But, you know, we looked at that cylinder, which I didn't zoom in on and get a picture zoomed up for tonight's show. But I'm figuring that cylinder, because of its distance from the camera and its relative size in the picture, has got to be 25, 30 feet long. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, easy. It's kind of hard to tell how far back everything was. There's probably some data on that. I mean, under the things with the raw images, they actually had camera positions when they took that panoramic photograph. And you could probably find out how far that was out. They got to have some sort of data on that. But it because it's way back there, and this, you know, based on the size of the helmet or whatever it is, it looks like it's pretty good size.
Is there anything about this, what we're calling a debris field, and these objects that I've been highlighting tonight and talking about, is there anything about it that to you looks like it's just natural geology?
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, if you look real careful in the photographs, you can almost make out skid marks where something crash landed.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at all the rocks and everything else that are around there, you can tell the position of the sun, the shadows they cast, and then these objects obviously stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, they do. Hey, you saw Yoda. What did you think of that?
Yeah.
That looks like maybe. Looks like a statue of little Yoda with his hood on, right?
Hey, you never know where Spielberg may be getting his information from.
Yeah. Really? Really?
But, what about, you know, who's to say the Anunnaki don't have different kinds of helmets?
Well, that's true. Maybe the Anunnaki are, maybe that's the stormtroopers in Star Wars. What do you think?
Yeah, it's certainly odd looking, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really tell if that little bulge on the thing goes back all the way or...
You're talking about up on the top of the head?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It looks like it's either something like for a feet or two for like atmosphere thing or some sort of headlight.
Yeah, hard to tell, but it's kind of shaped in our picture. When I've zoomed in, it's kind of shaped like a, you know, a incandescent light bulb.
Yeah, well, one thing, if you look real careful with it, there's defined lines that look like shadow lines around it. So it looks kind of, it looks like it's a round piece attached to the top of it.
Uh-huh. It does. That it does.
Doesn't look like some bulge that just naturally occurs out of the helmet piece. You know, the pieces that you would assume would be around the ears, you know, they look like they're pretty fluid.
This may be Darth Vader's helmet.
It could be.
Wrong color. Wrong color. Darth Vader. Everybody knows Darth Vader wears black, so it's the wrong color. You know, one of the things that we saw as well, as we were looking around the photograph with it zoomed in, we saw what looks like a bridge across a gully up in the upper right side of the picture. What'd you make of that?
Well, it's kind of interesting because when I was looking at some of the raw photographic data, one of those frames looked like either was a lake back there or at some point in time, or, you know, some water.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you saying that it looked like there's water now?
Not in that composite picture. As a matter of fact, the composite picture doesn't seem to jive with a lot of the raw data. I mean, that one picture that I was looking at, it almost looked like the stuff in the mountains that seemed to blend in as mountaintops.
Okay, Jeff, hang on. We have to take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
JSS member area since 2009. I really enjoy the fact that I have access to the Cape Pods that are archived. I download them to my computer, put them on my MP3 player, and I can listen to them at my leisure on my long commute to and from work. I'd really like to see you in our community. It's only $6.95 per month, and it is worth far, far more. I sincerely hope you will join today.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and our discussion of strange things in this photograph from JPL's website. On the telephone with me, Jeff from Tennessee. Jeff, you were talking about that in the raw data, in the raw photographs, it looks like that out beyond that debris field, which, folks, that would be up towards the top of the picture. So beyond the debris field, before you get to those mountains, you said it looks like there's a lake. Now, I just wanted to clarify, are you saying it looks like there's water there now, or there has been a lake there?
Well, in the one picture that I was looking at, in one of the raw image data, it looked like there may be water there now, but if you look at a lot of the other ones, it looks like maybe more like a dried up lake bed or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly, from that one specific picture, it definitely looks like that stitched together picture, that composite image, makes it look like real flowing mountains that go. Everything to me seems to get blurry behind that little what you're calling the cylindrical shaped object. If you look at the rocks, they start blurring out, and everything seems to be free flowing up the side of the mountain. One of those raw image pictures, it was clearly not that way. I don't know why that particular shot picked that stuff up that way.
Yeah, in that raw image, it looks like a shoreline that drops off down into what used to be a lake, or is a lake, but has no water in it now. And then those mountains that we see are the shoreline on the other side.
Yeah, in the composite picture, it just looks like mountaintops and all nice and free-flowing, but there's certainly defined lines in that other photograph.
Yeah, yeah.
And, far be it from NASA to Photoshop anything.
Well, let me ask you again. You've taken a look at this. You've spent time going over this today and looking at it today. In what you're looking at, does all of this appear to you to be just natural formation, or do you think, honestly, that we're looking at the remains of some alien technology here?
It certainly looks like there's pieces of debris strewn amongst the rocks there for whatever reason. I wouldn't necessarily, alien as to what reference.
Not us?
If there was actually life on Mars at some point in time, it may not be alien to Mars, but alien to us, yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe some technology we had that we just don't know about.
Well, that is possible. Gene Cernan, who was in the last flight to the moon, is on record on television stating that Buzz Aldrin wants to go back to Mars. Did you know that?
As far as what we've been told, we've only went to Mars via probes and rovers and things like that, and just most of those missions seem to have either gotten something blown up or disappeared or quit mutating, and it's amazing that we've even got these pictures.
Yeah, but he certainly said it, and it's in one of the breaks that we play on the TV channel. The deal was that Gene Cernan, of course, astronaut and pilot, captain, said, he was very opposed to Obama's new plan for NASA. And the anchor read to him Buzz Aldrin's statement, where Buzz says he's in favor of the Obama plan for NASA. And they asked Gene, what do you think about it? And this is all about, we're not going back to the moon. So Cernan says, Buzz and I have disagreed on a number of things, and this is one of them, but he wants to go back to Mars, and I certainly agree with that. Now, when I first heard it, I thought, he meant to say moon. And then I thought about it. No. He's responding to the statement of Buzz Aldrin that we don't need to go to the moon. He meant to say Mars. And he said Buzz wants to go back to Mars. So
yeah,
apparently we've been there.
Curious, he said he wanted to go back.
Yeah. So, apparently we've been there. At least Buzz Aldrin has. apparently. So, and we didn't get told about that.
Maybe they've advanced the remote viewing program and can do it by robots.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, that little slip of the tongue said, in my opinion, it said worlds. There's no possibility that he could have meant to say moon, because he was responding to the fact that Buzz said we don't need to go back to the moon. So when he said Mars, Buzz wants to go back to Mars. You know, that said worlds right there. So I take it from that there have been manned missions to Mars already many years ago. At least 30 years ago.
Yeah, it seems kind of weird that we accelerate our space program just to get where we were at and then just do nothing but send probes out after that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that and I don't know, what do they do on the space station? They square dance or what? I don't know. But, you know, we go to the space station, and that's about it. And so I agree. I don't think that we were so accelerated to get to where we were, and then we just suddenly stopped and said, okay, we're just going to fly up to the space station and float around for a while. I don't buy that. I think there's something way, way advanced of that going on, and we don't know about it. Except tiny little hints, tiny little cracks where the light shines through, like when Gene Cernan says, Buzz wants to go back to Mars. I think that's a little crack in the dam.
It sort of gives you the impression that he's been there.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Or using the word we as in NASA or the U.S. Space Program or something.
Yeah, he didn't say we want to go back to Mars. He said Buzz wants to go back to Mars, and I certainly support that. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And let me say, I don't know if it's already played in our commercial breaks on our TV station, but ladies and gentlemen, if it hasn't played yet tonight, keep watching. It's going to play. Buzz wants to go back to Mars. Yeah. All right, Jeff, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Have a good night. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And if you're outside the USA or Canada, you can send us a flash message. Or you can call us. Either one. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Jackie from Florida.
Hello, Jackie.
Hi. I've missed most of tonight's show, so I'll have to catch it tomorrow. Sounds really interesting, especially Buzz wanting to go back to Mars.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. I wanted to mention something kind of a little bit of a different subject. But
okay.
This evening, I had a friend of mine in Tennessee who's kind of a nature photographer buff, and I called him this afternoon, and I said, if you get a chance, take a picture of the sun tonight at sunset. I said, but catch it as a reflection in, like, your car window. And he said, okay. So I came back from dinner, and he had a message, and I got online, and he sent me two pictures, which I have sent to you, although I don't know if you'll recognize my email address, but he sent two pictures. One, he used a red filter, and he shot it straight at the sun. And another one, he told me the settings, but it's kind of like a foreign language to me. And I'm telling Kevin, if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, which I have now, I believe it. This kid would not have Photoshop. This kid would have nothing except his camera and a couple of, you know, like red lenses to photograph with.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something large out there, as Mr. Giannini Nato was talking about the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to let people know that we're out there. I know you've got a lot of listeners even in the Southern Hemisphere. Maybe somebody would go out and take some pictures, and we could generate some really interesting pictures that way.
And you sent these to me?
I sent them to you today. I got them a couple hours before showtime, and I kind of sent them. You're in my, what am I call it, my address book.
Okay.
And as like the, let me see here.
Well, don't give the address out.
Post,
yeah, don't. No. Don't give the address out. We use the contact page. The reason is if people send to that address, there's only a 1% chance it's going to get through the spam filters. So if they use the contact page, there's a 100% chance it will get through the spam filters.
Okay,
so,
well, I'll resend them to the contact page because the pictures are, well, I was staggered. And this kid is pretty much not a UFO buff of any kind, and he was like, what is that?
Yeah.
I'm going, well, I'll tell you what they say it is, but I don't know what it is.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I look forward
awesome.
To seeing those.
Pardon?
I look forward to seeing them. What do you think it is?
Okay, I'll be sure and send them to you, and I didn't mean to take you off your subject because
no,
it has been interesting, the parts I've been able to come in and listen to.
Yeah, what do you think this thing is next to the sun?
It is as big, and in one of his pictures it reflects almost as if you can see around the surface, you know, like it's a planet or a moon, but it's pretty big when you see it next to the sun. It's not like this little dot. It's not like a little EMV passing across the face of the sun. This is a large object.
Yeah, like planet-sized, huh?
Yeah, definitely like planet-sized.
Okay.
Considering how far away it still is, it's like planet-sized, yeah. And I know a lot of pictures have been on the Internet, and I just never trust this stuff because it's too easy to Photoshop.
Uh-huh.
And this kid is a personal friend, and I know what his equipment is, and I've seen his pictures. His nature pictures are always beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured he might be able to capture it.
And it shook him up, did it?
Very much so.
Yeah? Well, like I say, we're here because people have a right to know. And I look forward to...
You know, we may as well not all be sheeple. Let's at least go take a picture and see what we find.
There you go. There you go. Congratulations. I look forward to seeing the pictures, and, you know, I'll make them available on the website as well.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Kevin, and have a good evening.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye. Ooh, wow. Okay. 623-444-5889, and we have a break coming up. When we come back from the break, we're going to have time for one or two calls. So you'll want to get your fingers ready to do the dialing. I was saying as we went to break last time, and I have to hurry this time, remember, when you want to get rid of NASA, just remember, they released this picture to us. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and our discussion this evening. It is Open Line Live. You don't want to talk about what we're talking about. You can call in with something else. And we did have really an interesting call there from Jackie, didn't we? Something hanging around the sun that's really, really big and not a spaceship size, not even a gigantic EMV size. It's planet size. It's big planet size. She sent me the pictures. I'll get those on the website. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. If you want to comment on anything that we've talked about here tonight, or if you have some other topic you want to talk about, now is the time. Believe me, now is the time. Because if you wait until it's like, you know, the last 4 minutes of the show, we don't have time to take the call, because by the time you say what you want to say and you want me to answer a question, there's no time for me to answer the question. Okay, so now's the time. 623-444-5889. NASA takes it on the chin a lot, and I'm one of the people that gives NASA a tough time about some things. But I like to give credit where credit is due. In my opinion, NASA doesn't tell us the truth about a lot of things. They don't necessarily lie to us, although some some of the things they say to us, some people think are lies, and maybe they are. But a lot of times they just don't comment. They just say nothing, but they release a picture like what we've looked at here tonight. And, you know, they just release the picture, and it's up to us to investigate it. It's up to us to see what's in the picture. It's up to us to dig for the truth. Now, I think lots of people would like for NASA to just hand it to us on a platter and say, folks, here's the story. And I, you know, I'm one of the people that would like to see them do that. Simply because, you know, they're being paid by you and me and everybody else and in the United States, and I think they owe us. I think they owe us to tell us exactly what they have found and bring us right up to date with what they know. There are various regulations and laws that prevent them from being able to do that. You need to know that. And there are people at NASA who fully think those laws and regulations are the right thing. And whether they think they're the right thing or not, they have to follow them. But there are people who think they are the right way to go. Nevertheless, it is NASA that releases the photographs. You didn't get any photographs from the U.S. Air Force, did you? You didn't get any photographs from any other government agency in the United States about what's going on in space. It's NASA that releases the photographs. Yes, they do retouch the photographs sometimes. And yes, they do obfuscate when you pin them to the wall and say, what about that? Well, that's probably some kind of compression anomaly in the photograph. Well, you know, what we've looked at here tonight cannot be a compression anomaly because this is a composite photograph. The big photograph is a composite of a bunch of little photographs. And we see a whole bunch of white dots on there. And when we zoom in on those white dots, you know, they can't be compression anomalies because they're all shaped different and they're geometric in shape. They all look manufactured. They don't appear in any way, shape, or form to be natural geological formations. So, again, yes, NASA takes it on the chin, and yes, they obfuscate. That's pretty clear. And I wish they didn't do it, but they do. However, they do release the photographs. And for those who are willing to investigate and to research, you can find all kinds of things in these photographs that tell us that we are not alone in this universe. We are not alone in this universe. I've never met anybody or anything that could wear a helmet like what we are discussing tonight. I haven't personally met this guy or any of his kind, to the best of my knowledge, but some intelligent creature apparently wore it. If you look at that debris field, it is a debris field. It's not just rocks. It's a debris field. Something crashed there. And for all of their shortcomings, for all of their failings, NASA has some great successes as well. And I think one of the great successes is that in this era of truth embargo, in this era of clamping down on what you can know and restricting what you can know and trying to restrict what you can talk about, NASA is releasing photographs that tell the story. NASA's releasing photographs that tell an amazing story. And the amazing story is someone intelligent has been on Mars. Maybe they still are. I don't know. But certainly there's evidence that someone intelligent has been there. You realize, of course, that the naysayers and poo-pooers are full of poo-poo. You do realize that the standard view of our history only goes back to around 4 or 5,000 B.C. We call those people ancient, and yet when they sat down and wrote their history, they wrote about times that were ancient to them, that take you back into the dark, misty halls of time beyond what we can comprehend. And back beyond that, were there intelligent beings on this planet? Were there intelligent civilizations, high-tech civilizations, that got wiped out at some time in the past? There's evidence of that as well. There's evidence that we are not alone. There's evidence that what we suspect, that there are intelligent beings around this universe, is a reality. And that means that the people who spend all of their time trying to disprove it and trying to explain away the evidence must have some sort of psychological problem or some sort of vested interest in you not knowing the truth. Think about that. When someone can take a look at the photographs that we've looked at here tonight and say that is just an anomaly in the photograph, in the photographic process, or they can say, well, that just looks like, you know, a rock to me. If they can do that with a straight face, they've got a psychological problem or a vested interest in you not knowing. Well, here at the Kevin Smith Show, we are here because you have a right to know. What we do on this show is a bit different from other shows. And we even take it on the chin from other shows. That's okay. What we're about here is that you have a right to know. It's not I'm saying you have a right to know what I think. You've got a right to know what the data is. And that's what we try to bring you. We're going to do that again tomorrow night. Our guest tomorrow night is a lady who says that she has been involved in this alien hybridization program. You want to be sure that you tune in. You want to be sure that you hear that. And if you're not a member, be sure that you join before tomorrow night so you can watch as well. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.